Good morning, and welcome to those who are here and those online. Please share your presence with a text or a comment. Also, share your praises and prayers. Event info has been scrolling on the screens, and I hope you've been watching. Everything you need to know is in the bulletin. Some highlights: our Faith and Family Night at Nashville Sounds is on May 25th. Flyers are at the back of the church. Scan the QR code for discounted tickets. If you purchase a ticket, please let us know so we can carpool or take the bus if there are enough of us that want to go. Serve Sunday collection is being collected now through May 19th. Cleaning supplies. These boxes are going to the older adults at Wessington. You can drop items off in the connector. There's a complete list of items in the bulletin. Older adults are meeting on June 6th at 10:30 to join Charlotte Gerard in the fellowship hall as she has a class on the benefits of stress management and aging. Information flyers are at the back of the church. Now for the Did You Know this morning, we have a video, so thank you.
Going to Sunday school has been great for us because this place is filled with amazing human beings, and a bunch of them go to Sunday school. And so just getting to know people on a deeper level has been really rewarding. It makes us feel so much more connected to this place. And that has helped for me. Every time I'm here, it's so much more meaningful because I've gotten to know so many of you guys. And that's what going to Sunday school has done for us. And it's certainly helped our faith as well. It just opens up so many more avenues for God to speak to us. By studying scripture, he speaks to us through our fellow members and through prayer. So it's been really, really healthy for us.
Stand and join in our call to worship. We praise you, Lord. We give thanks to you with our whole heart. Great are your works, full of honor and majesty, studied by all who delight in them. The works of your hands are faithful and just. Your precepts are trustworthy. Our reverence for you is the beginning of wisdom. You are to be praised forever. Amen.
Let's remain standing as we enter into a time of worship. Good Shepherd, it's so amazing to be here together, have this time to worship. Let's think about our graduates today. God, you're the artist. We're the canvas in the clay, especially with our graduates as they enter into a new season of life. But even us personally, wherever we are, you're still forming us and changing us. In my mother's womb, you formed me with your hands, known and loved by you. Before I took a breath, and when I doubted, the Lord remind me, I'm wonderfully made, and you're an artist and a potter, on the canvas and the clay. You make all things work together for my future, for my good. You make all things work together for your glory and for your name. There's a healing light just beyond the clouds. Though I walk through fire, nothing's really now. And I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. Cause you're an artist and a potter on the canvas and the clay. You make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all things work together for your glory and for your name. When I doubted, Lord, remind me, I'm wonderfully made, cause you're an artist and a potter, on the canvas and the clay. And I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake, cause you're an artist and a potter, on the canvas and the clay. When I doubted, Lord, remind me, I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter on the canvas and the clay. And I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake, cause you're an artist and a potter on the canvas and the clay. You make all things work together for my future, for my good. You make all things work together for your glory, for your name. When I doubted, Lord, remind me, I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter on the canvas and the clay. And I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake, cause you're an artist and a potter on the canvas and the clay. You're not finished with me yet, you're not finished with me yet, you're not finished with me yet, you're not finished with me yet.
Before this Sunday, I text our graduates and had them text the other graduate of what songs they would like to worship with this Sunday. And I had a few people ask for this next poem called The Blessing. So we're just going to try to make it through, y'all. But I do want you to have our kids in mind, those that are graduating high school this year and are setting forth into a brave new world. So let's worship the Lord this morning, but also be keeping our kids in mind. Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Amen.
Going, if you weep, then rejoice. may be seated.
Very mean. He's the worst. What am I? I don't even know what I'm doing. Let's stand as we say together what we believe. We believe in God, all present, all powerful, and all who created us in God's image, who loves us and protects us. We believe in Jesus Christ, our loving friend, fully God and fully human, who died on the cross, vanquished our sin, and is resurrected to save us. We believe in the Holy Spirit, our guide and our connection, who enables us to use our gifts, the breath of God within us, who is always with us. We believe in the church, holy and universal, the body of Christ, maker of disciples, and God's hands and feet in the world. As the church, we will always strive to show God's unconditional love to the world. We have hope in the resurrection. We believe in the death of sin, evil, and oppression. We believe that Jesus will come again and make all creation one so that we will live with God eternally.
Amen.
You may be seated. For real this time. We have a time this morning where we can lift our joys and concerns before God's throne. Obviously, our joy is we are our graduates this morning as we celebrate them today. We have some birthdays. We have Sue Martin, Brock Potter, and Katie Bradford. Yay. And our anniversaries are Mike and Eileen Marsh. So we give thanks to God for their presence and their ministries among us. Are there others we'd like to lift before the congregation this morning? We continue to keep those who are facing illness and treatments and other health issues in our prayers, and God's speed along their journey. Let's pray together. Holy and awesome God, we give you thanks today. We give you thanks for calling us into your house, for welcoming us into your presence, and for covering us with your peace. Lord, we just thank you for this time of year when we can celebrate not only our birthdays and anniversaries and the ministries and lives of those among us, but those, our graduates who are facing a new journey in their lives. And Lord, we ask your blessings on them. Lord, we just thank you for all that you do for us, all the doors that you open for us, and all the opportunities that you give to us. Lord, for all these things that we lifted up, we know that there are things on our heart which lay so close to our being that we don't know how to put into words what it is we need to ask, and we may not even know what it is that has our spirit stirring. But Lord, we ask that in this moment of silence that follows, that you hear the cries of our hearts. Lord, we give you praise and glory for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll do that as part of the...
It's at this time I'm going to ask our graduates to come down. And they're just going to share briefly their names, in case you do not know, and where you're going, major, and anything you would like to say to the church. Who's going to just do an order?
I'm going to the University of Tennessee at Knoxville. And I'm going to be majoring in biology with a concentration in global health.
And I'm Calla Baker, and I'm also going to UTK, and I'll be an elementary
And I just wanted to also take a minute from all three of us to say thank you to all the people here at this church. So many of you have been there for us and helped raise us. Last week, everyone that was here made vows to help support the company as they grow and help support them in this church. And whether you did it last week for Abby or many, many years ago for me and Connie, we are so incredibly grateful. And we know that we would not be the people we are today if it weren't for the people at this church. And we're just so very grateful for everyone. It takes a village, and we're just really, really thankful.
Stay here. I would like to invite your families and the congregation to come and lay hands as we pray for you all. As we go. What? To face whatever way you want. It's okay. And if you are not, just you all will just reach out a hand and let us pray. God, I thank you for Constance, for Calla, for Abby, for their presence in this church, both as children, as youth, as leaders, as adults. I thank you for their faith, for their witness, for their testament to this church. God, I ask that you extend your hand upon each and every one of them as they go out into the world. Let them take this church with them. Let them be representatives of your light in wherever they go. Empower them, strengthen them, be with them in all that they do. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Yeah. I now invite the youth who are here to help with offering to come forward. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for these gifts. Bless them so that they may be your light in the world. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Our scripture comes from the book of Hebrews, starting with chapter 11. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, and put foreign enemies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release, and in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death, they were sawn in two, they were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God has provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings us so closely. Let us run the race. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame and taking his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. So for full transparency, I feel inclined to let you know that the youth have an Austin is preaching bingo card. And so to help them achieve their goal of getting bingo, I am going to open by telling a story. When I was a senior in high school, I applied to two colleges. The first being Martin Methodist College in Pulaski, Tennessee, and the other was Lambeth University in Jackson, Tennessee. Well, my decision would be made easy because Lambeth would close that year as a school. So I only had one school to go to. The choice was made for me. Now, I will let you know in full transparency that the three graduates before us cannot relate to that situation at all. But what happened is I also got accepted into college in October of my senior year. So as you might be able to check out or to expect, I checked out of my senior year. My senioritis was really bad. I was already accepted into college. What did high school matter? I knew what I was going to do with my life. Why did I need to pay attention in my senior year English class? Well, as my editor and wife will tell you, I really needed to pay attention in senior year English class. But I had already been accepted. I didn't need to think about doing my best. I kind of lived into the philosophy that you might hear that D's get degrees, which, disclaimer, in college is not true. D's do not get degrees. And it is not a good philosophy to live by. As I may have mentioned in previous sermons or in other conversations, my transition to college was not easy. It was because I didn't take the time to truly learn in my senior year. I did not fine-tune the study habits I needed to succeed in college. And I had not nurtured my faith in such a way that I was ready for the struggles and the questions about the Bible and Christian faith that were going to be presented to me. Faith questions that I simply did not have the answer to. And I was the kid who always had an answer to the faith question. I was really struggling in my first semester of college. And so I went to my New Testament professor, who would later become my advisor, and I shared the struggles that I had, and I will never forget what he said to me. He said, "Never forget where I came from. Never forget to the church that raised you. It's okay to learn new things. In fact, you should learn new things. It's okay to try new things. But don't forget the cloud of witnesses that is coming with you. They have given you the skills you need to succeed." And so the author of Hebrews is also reminding us of the cloud of witnesses. The author begins their passage by opening with a statement of explaining those who have come before the early Christians, citing heroes such as Abraham, Moses, and others. And then in the passage we read today, they say to us, there isn't enough time to list all of the faith heroes that have gone before us. But to remember the example of their faith, they cite Gideon, Barak, Samson, all stories found within the book of Judges. They were people who led the ancient Israelites through a time of trial. Gideon, who led the Israelites in facing overwhelming odds. Samson, whose faith and conviction gave him great strength. Barak, who listened to the voice of Deborah, who listened to those around them and led the Israelite people to a great victory. And then they speak of Samuel, of David, of the prophets, who not only led Israel, but in the case with the prophets, they challenged Israel in their moral obligations. The writer also tells us that these heroes were not without their own trials, that they suffered and struggled with persecution. The author is attempting to draw a parallel between the struggle of the leaders of the faith, of these heroes of the Hebrew Bible, and the persecution of the early Christians, the struggles that they face. And we don't really know when the book of Hebrews was written. But some scholars believe it was written as early as 60 AD, and some believe it was as late as 90. So let's just meet in the middle and say 75 AD. It was during this time that Christians were beginning to experience the persecutions that would increase over the next couple centuries at the hands of the Roman government. Furthermore, the book of Hebrews is written to a Jewish audience. And in 70 AD, Rome would march on Jerusalem and would devastate it. They would scatter the Jewish people for the third time in recorded history. This would be devastating, especially for Jewish Christians, because of who they thought Jesus was. They thought Jesus, this Messiah that would bring about an end to the oppression of Jewish people. 70 AD would mark a period of change and unknown for the Jewish people and for Jewish Christians. The author of Hebrews is reminding their audience that, hey, those who have gone before us have dealt with this before. And then they move us even further. They take one more step to say we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And the imagery that the author is using here in the Greek is this idea of a stadium, a giant stadium like the Colosseum, full of people who are standing around us. That we can persevere the race or whatever life has in front of us. In short, the author is reminding them that they are not alone in this life. As they go about, they are not alone because the heroes of the faith and their cloud of witness go before them. And then the author takes it another step and tells them to look to Jesus. The Greek phrase is literally translated, looking onto the author and perfecter of faith, Jesus. The author wants to remind us that we have Jesus to look to, who is the author of the very faith we clinged to. God incarnate, the creator and author of all things. This means that Jesus is the center and beginning of everything. And it is to him that we look to be perfecting in our faith. And now I want to pause here because Methodists get a bad rap about Christian perfection. You'll say Methodists, oh, they're so focused on perfection. They think we can be perfected in this life. And John Wesley did say that. But the definition of, you think, of perfection, Christian perfection being that we never sin again, is not the definition that John Wesley put in there, or that I think the author of Hebrews is talking about. John Wesley defines Christian perfection as being in right relationship with God. It is through Jesus that we are made right in our relationship with God. And so that Christ, through Christ, we can strive for complete holiness or sanctification. It is not of our own doing. That is the key with Christian perfection. It is not on our own merit, but through Jesus and right relationship with God. So you might be asking, as I would ask if I was sitting here listening to me give this sermon, what does this have to do with graduation Sunday? I would cite and come standing there being the church scholar that I am and be like, actually, you know, this passage is supposed to be read on All Saints Sunday. That's when we normally read the passage. It is on this Sunday that we celebrate those who have died and left this world and gone on to join the great cloud of witnesses. And this passage is very appropriate in that context. So why would I want to focus this for graduation Sunday? In the context, the author of Hebrews is writing to a church who is just beginning. A church who is taking their first steps out into a world. They're a fledgling church. They're starting their journey into the unknown, into a world that will never be the same as the one they left behind. Our graduates today are beginning that journey, a journey into the real world, out of the familiarity of high school and home, into a new world full of new people and new experiences. Some of these experiences will be great. Those of us who went might remember in college meeting all of these new people, meeting our professors, potentially meeting the person who would be our spouse, meeting professors who would say things that you think about a decade later. But it will also come with its trying experiences, being on your own, realizing that the adult who needs to make the decision is you. Having to decide which new experiences are actually going to be beneficial. And trust me, it is not an easy decision to make. It is not an easy process. Life is not easy. And lastly, your faith will be challenged by the struggles of the world. I could sit here and lie to you and say, nah, you won't face any kind of struggles, but that's a disservice to everyone in this room. Because the truth is, you will face struggles. So what advice does this young-ish youth minister have for you? The same advice that the author of Hebrews had. Look to your cloud of witnesses. Look to the heroes of the faith, to people who have lived the life that you want to live. For the cloud of witnesses is indeed great. Look to faith heroes like Paul, who proclaimed that there is no male or female, Jew or Greek, but that we are all one in Christ. The prophet Amos, who proclaimed, let justice fall like waterfalls and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. The prophet Nathan, who in the face of a king who had all the power, took the courage and proclaimed what that king had done wrong. To the woman who was bleeding, whose faith was so strong that she knew all she needed was to touch the fringe of Jesus' robe. To Mary Magdalene, whose faith led her to become the first one to proclaim the good news of Jesus' resurrection. The founder of Methodism, John Wesley, who said, in all things, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity. Mother Teresa, who strove to care for those who could not be cared for. To the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who fought and struggled for equality in our country. To your parents, your grandparents, siblings, friends, your church family, those who have raised you, those who have grown up with you. And then secondly, I encourage you to be open for your cloud of witnesses to grow, because it will. clouds do not begin as giant things in the sky. They start as little puffs of air as moisture is added and begins to form a larger and larger body. Not only that, but clouds are not stagnant. They move with the wind. They travel. They go. Your cloud of witnesses follows you wherever they go and continues to grow throughout their existence. So is with our cloud of witnesses. The more people we meet and learn from, the more our cloud grows. Even though we might be far from our original cloud, it will always be with us and will grow as we journey through life. And then lastly, above all, and most importantly, look to Christ, author of our faith. The Word became flesh, who suffered on the cross and died for you, me, and everyone in the world, who taught us to care for the lowly among us, to not only speak our faith, but to live it, who told us we will know someone's goodness by the fruit that they bear, who taught us above all things to love God with everything we have and to love our neighbor as ourselves. The core of everything hinges on looking to Christ, because that is the good news that we find in this Hebrews passage. That is for all of us, not just those who are graduating, for all of us, that Christ strengthens us. In times of change, of growth, of new experience, of struggle, Christ strengthens us to continue in faith and endure the hardships of this world. No matter the time or place, whether you are near or far, young, old, Christ continues to strengthen you for the journey ahead. And so as our graduates go into the new world of college and adulthood, as we continue to live our lives, let us remember the cloud of witnesses. Let us go and live as people empowered and strengthened by Christ to endure and run whatever race is before us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
And like our cloud of witnesses grow and change and move along with us, so does this holy meal that we are about to partake together. It is a means of grace by which we may experience maybe God for the first time, but it is also one of those foundations of our faith that grows with us as we move throughout our lives, that mean different things to us at different stages in our lives. But always and everywhere, wherever you take Holy Communion, wherever you experience that means of grace, sitting at the table with other believers, there are elements that remain the same from ancient times until now. So let us begin together to partake of this meal. Know that we are all invited to this table, whether we are United Methodist, whether we are members of this church. It is not their meal. It is the meal of Christ that is offered for all, and everyone is welcome at the table. So let us begin together. Your responses will be on the screen, or they are found in page 12 in your United Methodist hymnal. Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, blessed it, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts and bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Those who are assisting me will come forward, please. We will serve by intention this morning. We will take a piece of bread, break it off. You would dip it in the cup. The altar is always open for you to pray. And we do have gluten-free options and single-serve options if you're not comfortable with intention. Come and let us enjoy this meal together. together. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
May we go with our cloud of witnesses, with the power of God, the love of Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen.